Shabbat Shalom. My wife Deborah and I recently began to use text messaging. We thought it would be a quick and easy way to communicate. Quick, yes. Easy, not so much. What I learned is that texting is an art unto itself. As you know, you only have a limited amount of characters to use per message. So you have to use your characters judiciously. And because of that, there are all these abbreviations. For me, this got frustrating pretty quickly. My wife sent me one text message, and it ended with the letters LOL. That's right, you can LOL at the rabbi who didn't know what LOL was. I was stumped. I'm sitting there thinking, is it the name of someone? Is it an organization? Is it an errand that I forgot to do? What is this LOL? And then you are all LOLing at me. Laugh out loud, LOL. I guess I have a lot to learn about text messaging, but I assure you that I am good at email. I use email all throughout the day, and I really find it to be a beneficial tool to carrying out synagogue business. But as we know, email has its challenges as well. And in my mind, here's the biggest challenge of email. It's just way too easy to hit the reply button. We've all been there before. You get an email, it annoys, it angers, it inconveniences you. So you quickly compose a response, you hit the send button, and within moments, it's delivered. The only problem is the response itself. In emails, people write things that they would never, ever dream of saying. Maybe it's because we're looking at a screen instead of a person. Maybe it's because that send button is just so accessible. Whatever the reason, in our emails, when we rush a response, when we hit that send button without really thinking, we end up embarrassing ourselves and causing hurt to others. Two writers, Will Schwab and David Shipley, were fascinated by this problem with email. So they wrote this neat little self-help book of sorts entitled Send. Here is how the authors describe the goal of their book. How to write email that won't make enemies, get you fired, or get you thrown in jail. So what do Schwab and Shipley recommend? The bottom line is that we all have to think before we click. Usually we rush through our emails, and that is a mistake. When emailing, and in fact throughout our lives, a rushed response gets us in trouble. When we act without thinking, or act before we can get a grip on our emotions, we often show a side of us best left unrevealed. This problem reminds me of a teaching of the Kutzker Rebbe. The Kutzker teaches, all that is thought should not be said. All that is said should not be written. And all that is written should not be printed. All that is thought should not be said. We all know the importance of that. It's a good reminder. I can't tell you how many times I've said something, and as soon as it's left my lips, I wish that I could take my hand, grab the words out of the air, and stuff them back into my mouth. But we can't do that. All that is thought should not be said. In the Kutzker, the second part, all that is said should not be written. while spoken words can never be reclaimed, you can't put them back in your mouth, when you write something down, it gives it some sort of permanence. An undeniable record now exists. And finally, all that is written should not be printed. In other words, you may write something down, but don't spread it around. And it reminds me of a common form of therapy. Often a therapist will suggest that when their client is really anger, when that client harbors a resentment towards someone, that that person, their client, should write them a letter. Write them a letter, the therapist will say, with all your thoughts, let it all hang out there. Don't hold anything back. And you write the letter, and it feels great just to get your thoughts out there, to get it all in the open. But the therapist doesn't want you to mail that letter. That's the letter that you keep in the back of your closet. In his teaching, the Kutzker is not suggesting that we are wrong for having certain feelings and for really considering them. But what he is suggesting is that we need to weigh the impact of our thoughts before we open our mouths, before we pick up our pens, and certainly before we hit send on our laptops. In other words, we need to avoid impetuous actions. We need to demonstrate restraint. Just think of Moses. Several times throughout the Israelites' 40-year journey throughout the wilderness, God has enough. He has enough of the people because they complain all the time, they sin, and furthermore, they ignore God's laws. So God once in a while responds and tells Moses that he's going to destroy and wipe out the entire people, all of the Israelites. But Moses sees that God is acting out of anger. So Moses engages God in conversation, giving God the opportunity to calm down and to reconsider. And each time it works, reason prevails, and God decides not to wipe out the Israelites. We call Moses Moshe Rabbeinu, Moses our teacher. And Moses even teaches God. He teaches God the power of restraint. But still, Moses is not allowed into the promised land. And it's kind of ironic. We remember the story. The people are thirsty, and they begin to complain bitterly, and they challenge Moses and Aaron. God tells Moses, okay, go get some water from that rock to help the people. But Moses is angry, and instead of simply retrieving the water from the rock, Moses hits the rock twice. The punishment seems unfair and excessive. For hitting a silly rock, Moses is forbidden from fulfilling his dreams. He's forbidden from entering the land. But the incident, it reveals something far more significant. The journey throughout the wilderness, these 40 years, have taken their toll on Moses. All the responsibility, all of the people's complaints and their unfair accusations against him. And by the end of this journey, Moses is no longer the same man who led the people out of Egypt 40 years prior. Moses, who had led with patience and prudence, now leads out of anger. The very man who taught God the value of restraint is no longer able to control his own emotions. God sees this in Moses and sadly recognizes that only a new leader will be able to cope with the challenges of entering the promised land. Only a leader that demonstrates restraint can lead the people. Contemporary leadership experts agree that the ability to show restraint, to carefully and thoughtfully assess a situation before responding, is critical for success. One of those 7 habits of highly effective people offered by the leadership guru Stephen Covey is: first seek to understand, and then seek to be understood. In other words, show restraint, listen before speaking. Covey explains that all too often we are in such a rush to respond that we make assumptions about what we heard, what we believe someone else is saying or claiming, and we lack clarity. Yet we still respond, and it's based on an incomplete picture. In haste, we respond on what we assume, not what we know. Covey suggests that if we become empathic listeners, listeners with empathy, that if we become empathic listeners, we would wait until we have the benefit of a full picture. And it doesn't mean that you have to agree with someone else. It's just that you'll fully understand the other perspective. And by taking the time to understand another perspective, by demonstrating restraint in our response, we help assure that when we do respond, it is with a level head and sound reason. I imagine that if Covey was consulted by the writers of that book on email, Covey would say, "Be an empathic emailer. When we receive a challenging email, don't angrily respond, rushing to answer what we think someone else may have implied. Rather, get all the information first. Make sure you have all the facts straight, and then respond calmly and smartly." I want to take it one step further with email. If it's a difficult conversation, don't even bother having it over email. Even when you try to be an empathic emailer, too often there is a misunderstanding. In emails, emotions get lost, they get misunderstood. If it's important to you, it's worth a real conversation. A conversation amongst people, not a virtual conversation. A conversation that's calm, in which we seek to hear and then to be heard. With email, in our conversations, and in our actions, let's exercise restraint. Restraint. The reason that I'm talking about it is because for me personally, it's difficult. I sometimes feel that if everyone sits back, nothing gets done. But I also need to realize that restraint does not mean complacency. It doesn't mean inaction. Rather, restraint means that when you do act, you act from a well-thought-out and reasonable position. And that is definitely the thrust of our tradition, the Jewish faith. Think about it. Shabbat, our day of rest, is a day of restraint. One day during the week where we sit with all that is. We don't try and change it. We just try to understand it. And keeping kosher. Kashrut teaches us that while as human beings we can eat anything, we don't. In the most mundane and common of our activities, eating, we are reminded of restraint. And even making a bracha, making a blessing. We make the blessing and then we perform the action, teaching us that extra bit of patience, that extra moment, the need to wait, the need to demonstrate restraint. Several weeks from now, we will gather for the holiest night of the year, Kol Nidre Yom Kippur. And Kol Nidre is a prayer that addresses our vows. All the times that we spoke too soon or that we spoke too strongly. The times when we said foolish things and made promises that we couldn't possibly keep. With the recitation of Kol Nidre, Yom Kippur begins with the hope and prayer that we can learn from those slips of our tongues, and that in the coming year, we can be more careful, more deliberate with what we say, and more considerate with how we say it. As we approach the holidays, let's begin to think of those lessons today. May we recognize the power of restraint in our emails, in our words, and in our actions. May we have the strength to understand before seeking to be understood. And when we respond, may our responses reflect the goodness of our intentions, bringing light and blessing to all in our lives. Shabbat Shalom.